Keeping it on your freeform station. We hope you're enjoying the music. 91.5 WMFO Medford and worldwide at WMFO.org.
This is called I Want to Be Loved.
I want to be loved.
Chicago Amor.
What?
Well, on the left is Mike.
Hey, Michael,
give me the other mic. I'm getting shot.
Everybody hand me a five.
Yo, watch my monitor. Get out of my monitor. I mean, you can touch something, but don't mess with my monitor. Yeah. Where am I? Where did I do? All
right, scumbags, hold on.
All right, good night.
Much older than I'm young. deceived me into thinking I had something to protect. Good and bad, I defined these terms quite clear, no doubt, somehow. Ah, but
I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.
You're listening to The Electric Hour on WMFO in Medford. Hey, little Mitski to wake you up in case you needed some. Hi, my name is John C. Murfeld. You're listening to The Electric Hour, WFO's longest-running improv ballet. Brennan's not here again. Yeah, it turns out that this time slot isn't really as good for Brennan as we originally thought when we scheduled it, because he always has these big economy tests. Now, as we all know, economies are concerned with producing goods like stone and wood and gold and the factories to manufacture those goods. So, you know, that's what it's at stake here. You know, the future of that part of our society. But that's fine. It's the season 4 finale, I guess, technically. There'll probably be another episode next week, but I'm treating this as the finale by bringing our special finale guest on and also another one. So we'll see. This is going to get wild and zany. Sorry I'm late, but we'll still go for an hour because no one has ever shown up for their show that's after this. And it'll be good. There's a couple things I want to, plug, but let's just bring the guests out so we can all plug together. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, John, I'm interested to hear which one of us is the finale guest and which one of us is the other guest.
Well, Elliot, the fact that you're interested to hear that should be an indication that you are not the finale guest.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's Elliot Cobb, who is just a quote-unquote regular guest, although he's been here before.
I'll be the dark horse guest.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And Isha Patnaik, who...
Special finale guest.
Special finale guest. Hold on. Are you talking to your microphone again?
Hello.
Can you get really close to it?
Hello.
Oh, I think that one's the one that doesn't work. You guys should both rotate to the to your left. Yeah. Or it doesn't.
This is like a disco dance.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank
rotate
you.
To your left.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're working things out today.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. You can really hear that.
Yes.
In your balls there.
Yes, that's what they are, ear balls.
Yeah, thanks.
Anatomy expert, Isha Patnaik.
Yeah, no kidding. We bring you on for all kinds of reasons. That being just one.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a few things I want to just tell people up top that they should check out, because, we've got to be supportive of the crew. One thing, the Institute Sketch Comedy's third musical is now online. It's on YouTube, thanks to Kaylee Hale, videographer. And, you can watch the whole thing on the YouTube. So just... search for the Institute Sketch Comedy and you'll find it. There tonight is a screening at the Museum of Fine Art School, and fan favorite Jahan Madani will be showing some of her work there, I am told, and I will be at that. Laser Man, the movie by Danny Garfield that I acted in, is almost done, and you probably may be able to see that, so keep an eye out for Laser Man. Speaking of Danny Garfield, keep an eye out for another Slumberjack show, possibly in the coming week. I have a few friends who are involved in this TUTV movie called Affection that you should go watch on YouTube. TUTV, I don't know what the actual name of their YouTube, I think it's just TUTV.
It's Tufts University
Television. Tufts University Television, yeah. And they made a feature film called Affection that I have seen the first 7 minutes of.
It's really good.
Before I had to keep studying. But anyway, that's, so, any projects you guys have coming out? My big name celebs guests.
I had a big test yesterday. That went well.
I had that same test, and it did go well.
I have a big test coming up later today, and I hope it goes well.
Yeah, well, you must be pretty confident. Yeah, you must be pretty confident, otherwise you wouldn't be on this stupid show.
I have skewed priorities, I think.
That's fair. What's the big... So this Isha's test is in psychology of music, I believe. What's the big concept from this class that you, struggle with? Getting. Elliot, I'm about to ask you the same
hard-hitting question, John.
Yeah, yes. I'm trying to help her study.
Okay.
It's before a show, a lot of times you go over the lines that you always forget,
Right. Something about beat-based processing and vocal learning and how those are the same, but beats are processed because you activate your motor cortex. I don't know. Something like that.
Whoa.
I know. Struggling with that a little bit.
It sounds like you got a pretty good hold on it.
That sounded okay.
My learned ears.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good. I'm glad.
Are your ears really that learned, Elliot?
No. Psychology of music? No, they're not.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you, Elliot? What was the hardest part of Comp 170?
Well, John, I don't know if the listeners really want to hear about that. I mean, gosh.
I don't know. I think we have some learned listeners.
Yeah, all right. Well, if we're going to get into it, you gotta say that the reducing from improving NP complete problems for me, was pretty tough. It just required a leap.
That's really the meat of the course too. Yeah. So you really
creative leap there.
Got to be on that. Yeah,
yeah.
People know about NP complete.
Bunch of nerds on this radio show.
Oh, don't pretend you don't know about NP complete, Asia.
I don't.
You don't?
I don't.
Really?
I forgot. I don't know.
Curious.
They're basically just a set of intractable problems. But you can,
sure.
But you can prove that they are. So, yeah. Well, fair enough.
You always do plugs on the show, John?
I often save them for the end. I don't know. I mean, I just felt like there's all this stuff that people are doing for the end of the year that I wanted to, get any additional publicity for if I could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True, true.
I have this soapbox.
How many people you think you've turned on to these projects
Elliot,
over
I
the
don't
years?
Know. Okay.
I don't
know.
All the plugs.
I mean, I don't know. Usually there's 10 or 12 people listening at this hour just online, and then people in their cars who are probably people from the community who aren't going to come to a major and decided show, but maybe
they
I can
should.
Get... Maybe I, you know, maybe I remind somebody at least that it's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you plug it just to... If you ran across just a group of 10 people, would you just give him the plug?
I always mean to do
person.
It. What I always say to myself is that I'm going to do it in my classes. I always say after a class on Wednesday, I'm going to stand up at the end and tell everyone to go. But I always forget or just it feels dumb to do.
Oh, go to a live show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not, yeah.
See, live. To me, I wouldn't do that because it seems sort of presumptuous. Like, I feel like in a Tufts class, it's everyone's got stuff going on. If everyone told everyone else about their stuff, it'd be
I disagree that everyone has stuff going on. I feel if the person in my class who was in Essence or something always stood up and told us when the shows were, that honestly, that would help me. But that's a pretty different ball game in terms of I feel like people actually want to go to those.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
fair.
I've never been to an Essence show. Maybe if someone in the group had stood up and told me when the show was, I would have gone,
I think that's,
I had a class where if there was a gender-related event, then mm-hmm. people would just announce that at the beginning of each class. And there were a lot of gender...
Like a frat party or something?
A frat party. A lot of frat parties.
We're calling it gender-related event now.
Yes.
Exactly. A GRE, if
a GRE.
Will.
Wait, I don't know what you mean. Like Tufts Funny Ladies? Or
yeah,
something?
I plugged that at the beginning of my Feminism in 20th Century.
Oh, it was a feminism class.
I was about to ask you, was it a gender-related class?
Oh, I took a lot of gender-related classes.
Sure. Well, you're a gender-related girl.
Yes, I really am.
I don't know what that even means.
A GRG.
Yeah, yeah, GRG. GRG. GRG.
I use that a lot in AIM in middle school.
Yeah.
Hey, you a GRG?
Nice.
How you identify the feminists.
Wait, so what other kinds of stuff were people plugging?
What
other GREs?
Women-centered events or LGBT events. Stuff to do with race, also. I took another class where I took gender and sexuality in South Asia, and there were a lot of South Asian events that were being plugged. We have a lot of South Asian events on campus, weirdly enough. Not weirdly enough. There should be.
Do you think we have as many per square foot as they do in South Asia?
Because
there's a lot of South Asian events happening there.
A lot of South Asian events happening there in South Asia. A lot of square footage there,
just
too.
Just going around their daily business, I feel like that's South Asia.
What's some good things we can share with the people about the sexuality in South Asia? I feel like I know almost nothing.
Concept of a gender binary is kind of Westernly constructed there, and a lot of the gender-related problems were brought about by economic problems that were spurred by the British entering India. So, colonialism.
Classic.
So before colonialism, there wasn't a gender binary?
I think there was a gender binary. I think, it was just less, defined, and then there was more protection for women in terms of, economic disparity. Dowries used to be different. Yeah, dowries used to be, a form of protection for women, but then as soon as the British came and started to ravage the land,
dowries,
then it became a thing where you had to own women and stuff. Yes. Hmm. Yeah. It's a very educational radio show right now.
Yeah. Seriously. Well, that's one of our tags, is Tufts Educational Radio.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the end of a lot of PSAs.
If one of us, each one of us could teach, you know, the audience one thing by the end of the show, it would have been a good show, you know?
Yeah. Well, wow, Elliot.
If Brendan were here, we would teach them about friendship.
Sure. Yeah. Brendan and Nisha, when they're together in the studio, they have a hard time talking about anything besides just the magic of friendship.
Yeah.
Much to my chagrin.
Strange.
Yeah. Actually, NPR last night just was running a story about they're in.
Are we about to be sucked into some kind of radio time hole if we are?
Here, I'll just play it.
Talking about other radio.
They were in India for a few weeks talking about climate change and India's trying to transition into a highly developed country without kind of going around the very industrial explosion that the U.S. and China had. And the people they were talking to last night were funeral pyre designers who were making energy efficient funeral pyres.
Oh wow.
But some people don't like them because
they
just don't feel as
authentic.
Yeah.
One
guy was like, "Oh, it's great. There's no smoke in my eyes." I was all right, dude. Yes.
Okay.
Because they have to, they apparently uses a ton of firewood and 3 days to burn a person with wood.
Yeah. I think in the United States, people just go to cremation homes if they're funeral homes with cremation places, or all the Hindu funerals I've been to here.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd hear more about that if some people were doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
I
always imagined myself being burned on a wooden pyre, though.
For real?
Yeah. It's something that I've, ever since seeing it in movies when I was a kid, I was like, yep, that's probably what's going to happen to me, too.
Wow.
You weren't like, oh, yeah. it was just kind of a matter of fact.
Yeah, matter of fact. Just something that I've accepted about death is that I'm going to burn on wood.
Well, they also had an all-electric one that's very green. So I'm just saying, maybe just for the sake of the planet, give it a thought.
Yeah. I'll maybe give it a thought.
Do you guys know what's going to happen to your bodies after you die?
I mean,
because I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I just want to do whatever's most green.
Yeah.
Or maybe donate it to science.
Ooh.
I guess if they want.
Yeah.
If they want it. I don't want to end up like a basement of science, but if it's gonna get.
You don't?
Do you want to be a med school cadaver?
Yeah.
That's a little grizzly. Maybe just on a body farm. I don't know.
What is a body farm?
It's Well, I can't quite remember now what they're for, but they are just these places where there are corpses around.
Sounds like a Minecraft thing.
It's just a place where they put corpses and they...
Like a graveyard?
No.
They're
not buried. They just rot and they do something to this. I can't remember what they're for. Some kind of research thing. I guess I'll have to be a cadaver because I don't know about this other thing.
They just kind of prop them up in a room?
Yeah.
No.
These corpses.
It's several acres of land and they just dump corpses on the ground and they decompose and they study something.
Oh,
sounds
why?
Like a pretty poor excuse. Like you're a serial killer who's dumping bodies everywhere and then went in question, being questioned about it. It's a body farm. Yeah, it's for science.
Serial killer is always doing stuff for science.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit romantic to be burned, or cremated rather, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's kind of like when I was watching romantic comedies when I was younger, figuring out what my life was going to be like. I was like, yes, and then I'm going to be cremated.
No, romantic in larger. Yeah, yes. Okay, you know what I meant. Yeah. but I hadn't, I definitely didn't have a well-formed idea about it when I was young.
Yeah, I had a lot of I watched so many Bollywood movies where they would just cremate people all the time.
That's a big plot.
Yeah,
staple.
It was a big plot line. Wow. You know, always.
Oh, this scene.
This scene in
this
every movie.
Obligatory cremation scene.
Yes. Yeah. It's part of the hero's journey.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Right, that's true.
Instead of threshold, it was...
So they come back at the end.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't realize how long it took.
Yeah.
They're saying these new, the more efficient ones use a third of the wood, and they can go in 3 hours. And I thought they were going to say that's longer than a normal one. They go, as opposed to two or three days.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's so many days.
Yeah, I know. But I guess it helps if you have relatives, people can like come and they can make it there.
Yeah, maybe. That's true.
They can, I guess it's not just like burning a newspaper or something, you know.
Right, it's like actually burning it has significance, yeah.
I also thought that I would have a son or daughter who would like go on a journey with my ashes around the world or something like that and try to like reconnect with me. That's like a whole other thing.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like
if they don't have anything else going on.
Get like nice dinners and put you like across the table from them.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a montage.
Yes, it would just be a montage.
For certain would be a montage. Mm-hmm.
It's them, you know, on kayaks or something, like looking at the urn and like pointing at landmarks. And
yeah, just going on the world trip that I never got to go on because I sacrificed myself for their education and well-being.
Wow.
Because we worked too hard.
Yeah, I worked too
hard. Well, it sounds like they're sacrificing their family life to go on this trip with you, so it's kind of a wash.
Yeah.
Your sacrifice only went one generation deep in that regard.
Yeah, well, you win some and you lose some.
Yeah. Speaking of winning some, and I want to get your guys' hot takes on this. Last week, for the show, I was very depressed, but I was not helped by the fact that Donald Trump is now just, like, the guy. He's the guy now. And I just, if you guys had any thoughts on that, Brennan and I were basically talking about it the entire hour. And we're very upset. That's upsetting.
I was looking in the New York Times op-ed section, which may or may not give away my stance on this issue, but, you know, 3/4 of the op-eds had the word Trump somewhere in the headline.
No,
like
we had the same problem because we were trying to find other news stories. So we went on NewYorkTimes.com and it was, just a wall of Trump.
Which is just
like the one he's going to build.
Yo.
Yes, the one he will build.
Yes, and definitely.
It wouldn't be surprised if the wall had his face like all over it, you know, scaring people.
Either printed there by the army or spray painted there by furious Mexican citizens.
Artists.
Yeah. And probably Americans too.
Well, they're going to pay sides. For it. So,
right. Well,
like,
sure.
They can do whatever they want.
That's true.
The
they will own it. I get, and we will patrol it. I get, yeah. Good point, Ish. How will that work? I read an article the other day about like all the bureaucratic red tape. It would involve like 30 government agencies to get this thing built because it's like, you know, the EPA and like the Homeland Security and like all these bureaus. So it's like,
at least 30 bureaus.
So obviously we live in a pretty anti-Trump bubble. I feel like
for sure.
Tufts and probably the entire like Somerville, Medford, Cambridge area is pretty liberal. But for the most part, John's making a face at that. But
oh no, I'm making a face because it's bright outside.
Oh, okay. He's always making faces.
I am a face maker.
So we're in this bubble, but the other day I went to dinner with my cousin, and turns out he's a big Trump supporter.
Oh no!
And I'd never met a live one, you know, and I met a couple of dead ones, and they were very nice about it. Actually, presented some good points. I hadn't thought about those before. I was
just
at a few
weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, cuisine. I went to a body farm, and they were just extolling the Trump's virtues.
Yeah. No, that's what they do at body farms because they're all serial killers.
That's right.
I love Trump. I was talking to my cousin, and the interesting thing was that he had seen all the same media that I had seen, like, you know, news stories about Trump or Hillary, or, for example, he had seen the John Oliver thing about make Donald Trump again.
He had
seen this, but he had just gotten the exact opposite impression of it that I had,
right.
Which is so interesting to me. And he's not a dumb guy. I'm not a dumb guy, and I thought that was really interesting.
Did you see the Samantha Bee bit about talking to Donald Trump supporters?
Yeah.
Man,
she is killing it.
Oh, she's crushing it.
You seen Samantha Bee's show?
I never. No,
it's so funny.
Good, so funny.
That's cool.
And listen to her on Fresh Air. It was a really good interview.
Just a little more NPR plug.
Jeez, we're just rolling in.
Hire me, please.
She was talking to like a bunch of Trump supporters, and they just were all like young professional 25 somethings, like
racially diverse.
Yeah, racially diverse. And like just so like vehemently like for Trump in just like a really disheartening way.
And every time she would raise a point, they'd all just be like, no. Yeah. Like, no, you don't get it.
When she brought up the ban on Muslims, they were like, temporary.
Yeah.
They were like, that was kind of their justification for
We were on a break.
Exactly. Rachel and Ross.
Rachel and Ross.
Yes. It's just like really scary that there are people who I would like identify with in every other way, and then they're just like actually racist and sexist. And
well, there's got to be something like, you know, there's got to be like those kind of ways that you wouldn't identify with them.
Yeah. Probably. Well, it's just really frightening. I just thought, I don't know. And there was this one video about this guy who went to go hug people at a Bernie rally versus a Donald Trump rally.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, and the Donald Trump supporters were very aggressive. And granted, like, they got to edit the video, but
But that is what you hear.
That's what you hear.
You know, you just gotta go out and vote, I guess. Isha, your vote doesn't matter quite so much.
Yeah, I'm blue no matter what.
Yeah,
I guess.
But me and Elliot,
rifles 65 or whatever.
What?
Isn't that the artist of that song?
Oh, is it? I never knew that song.
Should we play it right now?
I thought that song
I would really like to hear that song.
I thought that song just kind of spontaneously emerged one day. I didn't realize it had an artist. I'm Blue, I guess, is the...
That's how I felt when I watched this Disney Channel original movie the other week that had writers, and I just thought it emerged from, like, child's brain.
It had writers. Yeah. Child writers.
Someone actively wrote this.
What is the name of that song? Beyonce has a song called Blue.
I'm Blue. Bye.
Well, I looked for I'm Blue, and it doesn't seem to be...
Rifle 65 or something. Google it.
Rifle 65. What is that?
Google is so useful. Another plug here. This one.
Yeah, Elliot, Rifle 65 is even an artist. I think that's a load of malarkey.
Okay.
I think you're a bad man for
just Google it up. I'm Blue Abadi Abadai, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Can you bring the mic closer to your keyboard so the listeners know that you're looking it up?
Good call.
Oh, well, I already typed most of this. I'll type some more. Abadi.
Meanwhile, back at headquarters.
Geez.
Boss.
I should have pressed enter. Enter makes the most satisfying keystroke sound, but it also screwed up my search results.
Because you usually hit it the hardest.
Yeah, I get a nice pinky, you know. Okay, here we go. I'm Blue, Abadi Abadai. The artist. Oh, Eiffel 65.
Eiffel.
Ooh.
Eiffel 65.
Like Gustav Eiffel. Or
the tower.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. So the name of the song is Blue, parentheses, Diba Di. Or Diba D.
Diba
D. Blue, Diba D is the name of the song. And we'll find Eiffel 65. And okay, guess how many plays this song has on Spotify?
24 million.
Elliot?
2 million.
2 million, Elliot?
Really? I don't go on Spotify, so
dude, like,
I don't have any.
An indie band can get 2 million. No, it's 41 million, actually.
41 million.
Yeah, so I'll get that up in the background.
Just in the background?
Oh, I want to keep talking.
I don't.
Okay. And all day and all night, and everything he sees is just blue, like him inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, cause he ain't got nobody to listen. I'm blue, I've been deed, I've been dying, I've been deed. you guys. What a great tune.
You know, I tired of that song more quickly than I thought I would.
Yeah. Elliot was over here just groaning.
Yes. And I just...
Like a body at a body farm.
Like a body at a body farm. And I was just blasting it through the speakers still. Because Isha loved it.
I loved it.
Isha loves that song.
It's my favorite song of all time. What I want to be cremated to.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Is that a big part of the ritual? Is a nice jam?
Yes.
Someone's like, is this Eiffel 65?
I think it's Rifle 65.
Let's look it up. How many listens do you think it has? That's an inside joke with us.
We've been burning a body this whole time.
It
smells terrible.
It really does.
It's only a matter of time before radio comes with smell, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait for that.
Or visuals.
No, I don't think
that'll
ever
be
gonna happen.
Quite a breakthrough.
As soon as I said that, yeah. You're right, Isha. It's not gonna happen.
That's not something people are interested in doing.
Yeah.
Seeing the radio. It's like,
yeah. We're just sitting here,
and we have faces for radio. That's the thing. Yeah. People don't want to see that.
Our ugly mugs.
Oh no, man. Thank
you.
Bunch of uggos over here.
Hey. Lego.
Oh damn.
I said that yesterday.
Really? Oh, so yes. None of us are clever. Except for Isha.
Yes.
Except for Isha. Ish, what lyric of Blue Dabadi do you resonate? Does it resonates most with you?
Probably the Daba part.
Oh my gosh! Hold that thought. We are getting a phone.
Someone
call.
Really wants to answer this yeah. question.
Get a community listener here. Hi, you're on the air with the Electric Hour. Please don't swear.
Oh God, I wouldn't want to do that.
No. Hi. Hello, hi. To whom might we be speaking?
This is Elaine Bledsoe.
Wow, of fame?
Yeah.
The musical?
Of Tufts University, at least for the next week or so.
Yeah, wow. Getting all the seniors in here. Oh, this is great.
I'm not a senior.
Hey, John, yeah, I know an Elaine Bledsoe who goes to Tufts, and yeah. I think this is an imposter.
Oh, yes. My God, an imposter? Well,
hi, Elliot.
Oh my God, that's just what Elaine would say. She's good.
She's so good.
Ma'am, can you prove definitively that you're not an imposter and that you are, in fact, Elaine Bledsoe?
I can, but first I'm going to need the social security numbers of everyone in the room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Okay, mine is 565-7474.
No way, that's mine too.
Oh my God, mine too.
Wait,
what?
Are we the same person? Are we going to benefit from the same social security?
I hope
benefits?
Not. Oh, I'm doing all the work.
Oh, well.
Okay, now that you have our social security numbers.
Well, I can definitely prove that I'm Elaine because I extremely like talking to people about comedy. And in particular, radio show hosts. I really like that as well.
Is it just me, or does this sound like something an AI would say?
I feel like I'm being buttered up. I feel like a slice of toast.
I love all of you so much.
Or a corn on the cob.
A corn on the cob, yes.
Well... Thank you for calling in to express your love, Elaine. That's, I guess, what I should have expected.
Well, you know, Elaine, whether or not you're an imposter, is there anything you'd like to say about, you know, perhaps maybe one of the last Electric Hours of the year?
Yeah, I'm so bummed I didn't get a chance to come in person, but thank you for allowing me to call in. I love your guys' show. I'm a big fan. Keep on doing this great work, providing this wonderful service.
Yeah, we were just talking about the service we provide to the Tufts community.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite lyric from the song Blue / Daba D?
I mean, I was actually just listening to this because I tuned in before I called it.
Oh, good. Well, what lyric resonates most with you?
I'm going to say Daba D, Daba Die. It's probably my favorite.
Wow, same as Isha.
Yeah. Oh, no, mine was just Daba.
Oh, just Daba.
Yeah.
Right.
I need the die in there. Or else it's quite.
It's a little more visceral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I guess that would be more fitting for my cremation.
Yeah. Isha's, that's going to be Isha's cremation song.
Oh, how lovely and peaceful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing we were talking about. Elaine, what do you want to be done with your deceased corpse when it is done?
That's a good question. I would like to be launched into space. Not actually. I don't know. I heard about this program one time where they cremate you and then they like turn your ashes into diamonds somehow, which I didn't understand at all. And I don't think it's like real. It's probably a, a scam, but that was pretty sweet. Like, I tend to go around, like, wearing me as jewelry.
Oh.
That's pretty cool.
That would freak me the heck out. Yeah, oh, yeah, this is my grandma. No, she didn't give it to me. This is her.
You can still see the sparkle in her eye.
I bet they can probably compress you into some kind of mineral. I don't know if it would literally be diamonds, but...
We should have gotten a mineralogy expert in here to tell us.
I invited Caroline.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, hi, come in, sir.
Hello.
Oh, well, you look to be a strapping, nature-preserving... fellow.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am. I spend most of my time lifting rocks. Hello, it's
rocks.
Dr. Stephen Livingstone.
Oh my goodness, the mineralogy expert.
Oh, yes. Can you settle a dispute we were just having?
Is it about mineralogy or one of my many other interests?
Oh, well, it's about mineralogy, but I'd love to hear about some of your other interests.
Okay, well, maybe after this.
Okay, if our friend Elaine, who's on the phone.
Hello, Elaine.
Hello, Dr. Stephen. I'm a big fan of your work. Big fan.
No, wow. Thank you. Yes.
You have quite the following.
I've written a few books, self-help mostly, and self-help using mineralogy.
Yes, it's about lifting rocks.
That I would love to get. Yeah. That sounds more like prison to me, self-help by lifting rocks.
No, that's breaking rocks. Lifting them is self-help.
Oh, wow.
Digging holes is juvie.
Right. Well, that I knew.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's this debate?
Dr. Stephen's work, I believe, is the inspiration behind the movie Holes.
Oh, so you helped innovate that digging method for correcting young men.
That's right, yes. And Louis Satcher actually came to me and I gave the whole plot idea. Actually wrote the novel for him, just let him publish it under his name.
Wow.
Because you had so many books already.
That's right.
You didn't want to saturate the market.
Yeah, saturate.
Gross myself at that time. Okay, so if my friend Elaine on the phone here were to die.
As she will. As we all will.
Certainly. You before us, I think.
Well, yes, I am on in years, but I'm fit, as you said, Isha.
You're strapping.
Yeah,
I'm strapping, and I'm keeping fit. So anyway, so your friend Elaine, after she dies.
After she dies, and let's say we burn her body, and we're left with this neat little fashionable pile of ash.
Yes.
Fashionable pile of ash.
That's right, Elaine. Yes. Is there any way we could, through possibly compression or high heat and pressure, you know, could we turn that pile of ash into literal diamonds?
Well, yes, actually, I have a startup that's going into that exact idea right now. We have a chamber which can create pressures equivalent to that of the lower mantle and actually can create diamonds out of burned human flesh.
Wow. You just need a little carbon, you know?
Yep. Well, hey, good luck with your radio show, folks.
Oh, thanks. Oh, wait, hold on. Can I just ask you one more question?
I'll allow it.
Do you get a lot of flack for having a non-app-based startup?
Yes, I do, actually. It's pretty hard to get venture capital funding.
Yeah, I bet.
Just because I have this compression chamber. It's not on, you know, the iPhone or anything. But
no.
I keep telling them that people, you know, the iPhone needs diamonds to run and, you know,
et cetera. That's true.
Extremely
true.
It
needs mostly diamonds only.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why there's...
The new iPhones.
And there's a surplus of burnt human flesh, so we might as well do something
with it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to help out. Well, folks, I wish you bid you adieu, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Wow.
Thanks, Dr.
Stephen. Oh, his loud feet.
Yeah, he played the bongos on his way out. Well, Elaine, was there anything you wanted to ask us?
No.
I mean, we settled that, so I guess you can just use Dr. Stephen. I mean, I hope he gets funding.
About funding?
No. I hope you can be turned into diamonds if Dr. Livingstone's idea gets any funding. But is there anything else you'd like to ask us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious about the rest of the death plans around here.
Oh, well, Isha would like to be put in an urn and taken on, like, a worldwide voyage, is, I guess.
By one of my children.
By one of her children.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. And you think they'll still love you enough to do that?
I don't know.
Pointed question.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
I hope so, but, like, I can also see myself... like one of my kids really struggling with their relationship with me, and that's why they take me on this journey.
I feel like they'll love you more after you die.
Yeah, probably.
You won't be around to nag them.
Yes, I'm such a nagger.
You're so nagging.
Yes.
It'd be pretty bad if, you know, you really had this dream, Isha, you wanted to be taken on a world tour, and then right, you know, on your deathbed, you're like, hey, so...
you know, are you going to be, you remember that whole world tour idea I had? And they were like, yeah, mom, yeah, we're gonna do that. And
right, guys,
you just
right?
Saw it in their eyes, yeah.
Yeah, that would be so sad. What if I threatened to haunt them, though?
Oh, that, yeah.
But, okay.
You need to raise them to be the kind of people who would take that threat seriously. Then.
Yeah, that's interesting. So should I threaten them their whole lives, or...
I
think it's some parenting tips here. I just really want this to happen for
me. Yeah, Elaine, how can Aisha scare her... Oh, I'm sorry. please come in, sir. Oh, wow, this guy.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
This guy's wearing a very loose-fitting shirt.
Yes. It's almost a blouse.
In fact, I think it might be a large blouse.
It is a blouse, actually, and I wear blouses because it sounds like house, and I like to make happy homes.
So. Ooh.
Yeah.
Come in.
I was about to introduce myself, kind of rude of this person.
Hi, hello.
Oh,
nice to see you here.
Hi. Frederick.
Albert.
Yeah. Hi.
How are you doing, Frederick? I was just about to get some new clients. Interesting that you had barged in at that time.
I was hoping to also get some new clients, so it's funny that we should both be here.
I would like to hear your 30-second elevator pitches for parenting.
Hello. My name is Melinda.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
I am also here to tell you.
Elaine, did you give the phone to somebody? Oh my gosh, we're getting a second call.
Oh dear.
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
Who could this be? Hi, you're on the air with the Electric Hour. You're both on. Please don't swear. Who is this?
Hello, this is Jahan calling from the Rez.
Oh my gosh, Jahan. I've heard of her.
Yeah, I have. She's actually my client.
Hi,
I wasn't
Frederick,
supposed to
Frederick,
say that.
She's my... Oh, my... Frederick.
So you don't respect client... patient client...
No, he does giver. Not. No, he does
what
not.
What is your job title, exactly?
Well, I'm a family therapy specialist.
Oh, family therapy specialist.
He's John, are you serving coffee?
Sounds like she's serving
coffee. As we speak.
Yeah, they want milk, John.
I wouldn't call you a specialist so much as a family therapy imitator.
Oh, really?
Albert.
Really? Well, at least I didn't get my degree from Flyer State Community College.
Excuse me.
Gentlemen, please, really. I don't think arguing in front of the client is going
to
do good here.
I just want to know how to raise my children, and I'm really scared, and I just really like some advice, and I'm really nervous.
If you're a mother, maybe you shouldn't raise both of your sons to be family therapists, but only encourage one of them to actually pursue it.
Oh, really? This is mom's fault.
No, of course.
This is mom's fault,
no,
Frederick.
Albert, it's...
not a good time to bring this up. We're not in front of the client.
I disagree. This is great radio.
Is this your mom?
This is great. Mom!
Mother!
You changed your name!
Well, you stopped answering my phone calls, so I had to take drastic measures.
I stopped answering Albert's phone calls, but the only way I could think of to do that was to throw my phone into the river, so I stopped answering all phone calls.
Oh, so you mean my name change was completely superfluous? Oh, dear.